Hello, everybody. This is Patrick Attaway, and today I am presenting you the final episode of Demise of the Podcast, where I will be discussing my book, Demise of the Trinity. I figure after 8 episodes of it, I covered my book about as well as I can, and I will be moving on to different topics after this episode. If you have not read my book, do not listen any further because I will be reading the last chapter of the book. If you have read the book, if you have not read my short story, Mount Venom, and somehow missed me reading it in a previous episode, I suggest you go read Mount Venom, which is a short story on Amazon. You can buy it for 99 cents. You can always DM me on Twitter for a free copy. Therefore, today I will be telling you what happens after the events of Demise of the Trinity and the different ideas that I've had for continuing the saga of Birch. However, I will also give you the reasoning behind why I will not be doing that. Of course, this is always subject to change. This is just sort of that, as TV Tropes would put it, a word of God sort of thing, where as the creator of this, I'm telling you what happens. But, you know, maybe one day I want to pick it up again. However, right now I'm working on a novella that I keep picking up and putting back down. And as I said in the last episode, I'm not going to be working on my third novel for a while. If I ever finish it, it may just remain a novella because I haven't even started part two of it. And the way I have it edited, it is a novella. It's a finished novella. So, let me talk about the ending of Demise of the Trinity. You know from reading the first chapter that everyone dies. One thing you don't see is Charles Price dying. Okay, I'll get to that later. But you know that eventually Birch is going to have to kill the other two people in the Trinity. And he also kills Lucifer again. He actually goes to hell, dethrones Lucifer from the Satan title, sends his soul into the burning fire of hell, and Murray takes over as Satan. So, why does Birch kill Arthur? They have an agreement that when Arthur is ready to die, Birch will kill him. Okay, after this whole saving the world thing, Arthur is pretty much done. I'll read his chapter here in a minute. But I wanted to end the book with Arthur's death because showing Charles's death, for one thing, I wanted to leave it open-ended. But I'm going to tell you right now, Birch kills Charles. That is just the only way that I can see Charles getting his just desserts for what he does throughout the book and what he does to Ken, the monster that he makes his son into, and also the events in the third novel or novella entitled at this moment Charles Price. Before that novel or novella was titled Charles Price, it was entitled Invisible Touch, and it was a novel based around the Genesis album, Invisible Touch, and it had Charles. And in this, he meets Nicole, Ken's mother. And believe it or not, Nicole has an actual personality. She's actually sort of independent, but she has a drug habit. And that's where everything gets flushed down the toilet. Back to Demise. Looks like Alan practiced tearing down skyscrapers on my house. The only thing not in cinders is the cement under the porch. We found a Roma's truck near the Fonda building, and Birch hot-wired that sucker, so it only took 3 hours to get over here. Dodged a lot of broken-down cars, though. Really, the power plant should be up in a few weeks. Who knows what the damage will do by then, though? If grocery stores can't refrigerate produce, and they're going to keep their doors locked without power, there's going to be a mob outside every Piggly Wiggly in the world. My dumbass hasn't had a meal since Benedict last left me a chicken sandwich in my cell. Got any food you can conjure up, Satan? I ask. Out of all the power I could have kept, how'd you know? Birch asks. Sitting on the edge of my foundation, Birch and I share a pepperoni pizza and a couple of Coronas. If I want to keep living, I should head up to Philly with him. It's not like any of my drinking buddies are still alive. I'm sure Benedict's somewhere taking a shot on my behalf. Charles got away when Alan showed up, so I don't have anything to reminisce and beat up. I haven't told you about the ones before you, I say. Feels like I'm sort of your illegitimate daddy. You mean Lester or Zavala? Birch asks. Least you know their names. I regret Lester since Ken Price was the result of his death. Zavala was just a bastard. I would thank you, but I never asked to be here. Yeah, I don't get that. Why do you hate it here so much? Something about the chemicals in my brain. They don't work right. If I spend too much time thinking about it, I'll get depressed again. Maybe you ought to use them Satan powers to make it go away. I can keep it null for a while, sure. This pizza makes me feel pretty good. Pizza's the closest thing a tongue has to coming. That neat and ass. We finish the pie, and Birch replenishes my beer. He probably thinks I want to spend a few more decades around here on my property and raise hell. Considering I fought the devil's son twice in the same day, I don't think my life can get much more exciting. I'm still pissy the government never recognized what I did in Korea, and Benedict should have his balls fried for putting me in a dark cell for 18 years. Not like it'll matter if I'm guaranteed a place in heaven, though. What you think it's like up there, I ask. Lucifer said it was boring, Birch says. Something tells me it's a lot better than down here, though. But what's there to do? Can we drink? Can we fuck? Can we remember the people we lost who went to hell? I never really wanted to know. I mean, think about all the things you love doing here. Aren't they just a way to pass the time? Up there, you don't have to pass the time. There's probably something that makes you feel better than beer. Food that tastes better than any restaurant. Maybe we don't even have sex. We can just look in each other's eyes and it's better. Or we can sit around in the clouds and do nothing. Would that be so bad? We don't have to work. We don't have to worry. I like having problems, I say. Give me a reason to fight. You can find some around here, I'm sure. He has a lot of trouble to find if he's spending forever on Earth. Lilith probably ruined other women for him, though. If he's going to be here alone, I feel a little worse about asking him to kill me. I need a favor. It's a lot to ask, but I know you'll do me right. You're going to ask me to kill you, right? Yes, sir. Figured you brought me here so I could be buried on my property anyway. Sort of, Bert says. I was really hoping you'd change your mind. I mean, I'm about 70. Men with balls my size can't carry them around much longer than 50.
True.
So while I'm still around, do you want me to take care of Benedict and Charles? Let them be. If I can't skin them, no one should. I wonder what it would be like to see Ken, Lester, and Zavala again. Heaven's going to be an interesting reunion. Lester never told me who he killed right when I was born, so I'll have to meet the dude too. With a full belly and a decent buzz on, I don't want to come down from this. Get me a little more buzz and I might change my mind. All right, then, I say. Snap your fingers or shoot my brains out, whichever way you want to do this. No profound words to end this all with. What more can I say? Let me go to the other side. Sounds like poetry to me. Birch pulls out Aroma's gun and checks the chamber. Standing behind me, I hear him pull back the lever and place the barrel behind my head. This all began in blood. Might as well end that way. So the question remains, what happens after this? You already know that Birch finds a truck And then he finds Charles at a gas station. Charles recounts a lot of what happens in the book. So Birch pulls over and kills Charles. I did write a portion of this scene. Not for this book. I was going to write it for the third novel from Charles's perspective. I was going to write half of the book from Charles's perspective, and then I was going to write half of the book from Birch's perspective, but it didn't really interest me. In fact, writing an entire book from Birch's perspective doesn't interest me either. Not right now, anyway. I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but at some point in my life, I'll probably write a book from Birch's perspective. But, I mean, Demise of the Trinity is such a, you know, Birch circle jerk anyway. And you have Mount Venom. Mount Venom is 50 years, more or less, after the events of Demise of the Trinity. And it's all because Birch gets bored and just wanders and he finds trouble. Now, literally all he does is stay at home. The power never comes back. He doesn't have any more power left from when he stole Lucifer's power, which is really for the better. He doesn't have Lilith. He doesn't have a girlfriend. He doesn't have any companion throughout all this time. He's there. And that's kind of how he likes it. He really enjoys being alone. He doesn't want to be around other people, and it gives him time to think about things. And he gets a little meaner, of course, but ultimately he just survives and he lives and he lives and he lives. And after Mount Venom, I've thought about different ways to end him or to continue him, and I've just never really gotten there. All the characters from Demise are dead, save for Birch. Murray's in hell. He's Satan. He remains Satan until, well, the end of time, which is never. What happens in between is the real question. Because Price of the Trinity, my second novel, which I'm going to start promoting soon and will be out maybe in September, maybe in December. That's all from Ken Price's perspective. Now, Ken is an interesting character to me because he started in another book. He started in Price of the Trinity, which originally was entitled Alienation is Overrated. And I kept that title until last year. I came up with Price of the Trinity to go along with Demise of the Trinity, and some people seem to think it's a sequel, but it takes place in 2010, and of course, Demise of the Trinity ends in either 2032 or 2033. So, there's a lot of time around that book that happens in Demise of the Trinity, and you don't see much akin between him being, 4 years old when he's interacting with Al, and when he's an adult and he's killing people. And frankly, compared to his persona in Price of the Trinity, he's kind of bland in Demise. That was intentional. I did not want to have a whole thing focusing on Ken. For one thing, because I knew that I needed to make him an antagonist. And frankly, there are so many different antagonists in Demise of the Trinity. Adding more personality to Ken would just be a pain in the ass, especially for the reader, I think. But in Price of the Trinity, Ken goes to college. And that's really all I can tell you right now. You've seen and you've heard me talk about what happens to men, especially when they're in the Trinity and they realize they have this amount of power. And you can imagine what happens when you have a defiant teenager leaving for college who hates his father, hates Lucifer and Murray, and what happens. So, I hope you look forward to that. I will be talking more about it in later episodes, but I'll even have a whole, you know, section of this podcast, like I did with this book, based on Price of the Trinity. Of course, it may not be as in-depth because there aren't as many characters. I probably won't dedicate an entire episode to Ken's girlfriend. You know, Ken doesn't really have a girlfriend in Price of the Trinity until he meets Lilith. And of course, you know he ends up with Lilith because she's in Demise of the Trinity and Arthur kidnaps her. By the way, Arthur isn't really in to Lilith. Have you noticed that? Jason sees her as a woman with blue hair. Birch sees her as a redhead. Ken sees her as a blonde. She looks different. She doesn't have the same face. In fact, when Birch is with her, she actually changes over time because his tastes change. But what else is there to say? Price of the Trinity will be out in either September or December. So what am I going to do with the podcast? Well, I have other short stories to talk about. I have poetry to talk about. I really want to talk about poetry. I really want to talk about the power of poetry and how to get you reading poetry. A big thing that I've noticed with a lot of the people in the writing community on Twitter is that they don't like poetry. And a lot of that stems from them being forced to read poetry or the fact that they don't realize that poetry is actually meant to be read out loud in many cases. And we all had to endure things like the Odyssey and the Iliad and Shakespeare. You know, things that are great, things that set standards, but they're not particularly fun to sit down and read. For some people, yeah, but for most of us, not so much. So, in the next episode, I'm going to be talking about either poetry or short stories, maybe Path to Venom since it's related to Demise, but I think I want to do something different. And if you have any suggestions, let me know. I'm on Twitter as Patrick Attaway with a little extra Y at the end, and this has been Demise of the Podcast, episode 8.